So my subtitle here is Times of Transition.
There we go. Woohoo!
Father, you are so gracious. You are so good. Let's turn to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, how do we know the way where you are going? How do we know the way? Lord, how do we know where you are going? How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Well, this little exhortation to these disciples of Jesus happened while they were in the home where they were having the Passover meal just before Jesus died. He had just finished washing their feet. He had just given the morsel to Judas. He left. So he was only speaking to the 11 that were there at this time. And he basically is saying to his disciples, things are about to change. He says, basically, I am leaving, but you can't go where I'm going. And so this is like a big, drastic transition for these men after being with Jesus for such a long time. But his exhortation says, do not let your heart be troubled. He said, believe in God and believe in me. And then he says, I'm going to come back for you. All right. Now, when you think about that, when Jesus left, oh, we have to look at it this way because you're looking at the left. This is the beginning of a timeline, right? So he's saying, I'm leaving, and then there's this whole span of time before he comes back. Now, Jesus hadn't come back yet. Now, he did rise from the dead, but to me, he hasn't come to receive them to himself. He came and showed himself, but he's still yet to come. So there's this big transitional period, which we are in with them right now, still waiting for the return of Jesus. And the reason I thought about this particular scripture had to do with some of the things that Peter was sharing, is that we as a people here in the United States, people all over the world right now are in transition. We've been in transition now for about two and a half years. So many things have been changing in our lives. And how are we dealing with the change and the transition? And I think that that was Jesus' exhortation. He knew. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. And the word trouble means to stir up. It's the same word that was describing the waters at the pool of Bethesda where Jesus healed the lame man. It's like this churning, right? He says, do not let your hearts be all churned up. And then he says, believe in God and believe in me. How simple an exhortation, but how hard a thing for us to walk through. And to me, when he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, it is saying that I have control of it.
That's right.
So with that thought, I'm going into two sections of scriptures. One is what we shouldn't be doing in times of transition, and the other is just an exhortation of where we should always be walking. And so the first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And starting in verse 1. Now, does anybody have a title above that chapter in your Bible? Oh, very good. Now, Israel was in a time of transition, right? Israel had been enslaved, and they were brought out of that slavery. They were freed, and they were in this time of transition, 40 years wandering around in the desert. Anyway, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. Let's see what happens to these folks here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Verse 7, do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Verse 8, nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction on whom the end of the ages. So, here is now our exhortation, where we are at today. And the Lord is encouraging us. Look at what these folks fell into. And don't do those things. Because there were severe, severe consequences. So we're going to take a look at a couple of those. In 1 Corinthians 10:7, it says, do not be idolaters. As some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Now, that story is in Exodus 32. I don't want you to turn there. I'm just going to tell you what the story is. Because most of us know what that story was. It was the time when God called Moses up onto the mountain where he was giving them, where he was giving him the Ten Commandments. And it says that the people were down there grumbling because he was taking such a long time. He was up there for at least 40 days, right? And so here they were complaining to Aaron. Now let's see what happened. This is Exodus 32, starting in verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to them, come, make us a god who will go before us, as this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt. We do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and daughters, and bring them to me. Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And he said, "This is our God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now when Aaron saw this, they built an altar before it. And listen to this, Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be the feast to the Lord." So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings, and they brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And to me, that's such a typical thing that we have a tendency to fall into. Whenever there's a time of transition in our life, whether it's something personal about getting married or having kids or new jobs or new homes or any of those things, it has a tendency to bring stress into our lives. And we sometimes, because of that stress, we sometimes begin to neglect the Lord, who is our supply, who is our need, who is our peace and our joy, the supplier of all the things that we have. And we have a tendency to slack off on that and begin to look to other things to satisfy these issues that we're trying to deal with in our life. You know, we try to put substitutions rather than having God Himself meet the needs that we have. And that was Israel's tendency. This was only 40 days Moses disappeared. And it's like, "Hey, we need this calf." And Aaron just went right along with it. He just fell right along with her. You know? Yeah. But that's our human tendency. Excuse me, one second. Dan's not here. What's interesting to me, too, the word idol or idolaters, it means to worship an image. And I was thinking about that. When I go into a restaurant or I go anywhere, everybody's got these little things in their hands and they're all staring at them and they're playing with them because there's all these little images on. I mean, think about it. When I watch some people, how much time they stare looking at this image. And what are they doing? They're trying to satisfy something. They're trying to look for information that will satisfy their thoughts and this and that, rather than going to the Word of God or just coming into His presence and letting Him fulfill all of our needs. I mean, there's a myriad of things that we could considered as idols. Entertainment, social media, fantasy football, financial success, ministry, gossip, conspiracy theory, all these kinds of things that are just out there that want to take the place of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the second verse there. In verse 8, it says, "Nor let us act immorally." And that has to do with a section in the book of Numbers. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But I'm just going to read a section. It's Numbers 25, 1 through 9. "While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. For they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal Peor, for the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, 'Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel.' So Moses said to the judges of Israel, 'Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal Peor. Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Here they were. God was causing them to repent and kill all these guys. And here's this little guy, he's bringing this woman in for his relatives, right, in the midst of all of this. So these guys were really steeped in acting immorally. And let me just go back here. It says, when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from the midst of the congregation. He took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman through the body, so the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. And those who died by the plague were 24,000. Again, this is an exhortation in the New Testament to us that we should not act like that. And I was thinking the same thing with regards to idols. Sometimes when we're under pressure and things are in transition or we're having difficulties, sometimes, again, we just want to satisfy certain pleasures. And one of those pleasures that we all have are these sexual pleasures. And we have these tendencies, or at least temptations, to go in that direction. To satisfy this inner need that really God has set a man and a woman to be married to fulfill that need. And yet our tendency at times is to go beyond those boundaries and satisfy those needs rather than going to the Lord himself and say, Father, I'm in this place. Please help me and give me the grace to walk through this time of transition. You know?
Amen.
It's real, and it's in our face, and we have to be aware of that. How many times has Peter Scott shared up here about him in the workforce and all these women literally coming after him, right? And so we have to have the grace of the Lord in those moments. We really do. And how do we get the grace of God? Is we humble ourselves. And that's what he did, and God gave him the grace, and he was able to walk through that.
Thank you, Lord.
2 Corinthians 10, verse 9. Nor let us try the Lord. And it means to tempt him. Can you imagine tempting the Lord? But that's exactly what these guys did. This is also in Numbers 21, starting in verse 3. I'll just read it to you. It says, after the defeat of Arad, king of the Canaanites, the Lord heard the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. Then they utterly destroyed them and their cities. Here God had just answered their prayers. Thus the name of the place was called Hormah. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food or water here, and we loathe this miserable food. What were they loathing? The manna and the quail, right? And what did the Lord do? He sent fiery serpents among the people, and they began to bite the people, and they were dying. So that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on the standard, and it came about that if the serpent bit any man, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Just in my personal experience, a lot of times when there is transition going on, especially in the church, when there's things, there's movement and things going on, guess who usually gets criticized? The leaders of the church. Why did you do this? Oh, how come you're not doing this? Didn't you see this? And before you know, it's like all this criticism. And, you know, I'm like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, you know. But the leadership gets criticized. That's the first thing that generally happens. And, you know, that's hard, but that's one of the things that there's a statement to be called into leadership. You're either called or you're crazy to do it, because guess what? When you come into that place, you're going to get hit. You're going to get shot at. I remember Owen Terry said there was a big target that was painted on my stomach that the enemy was going to shoot at. He said, but don't worry about that. He said, you know, you will be able to extinguish the fiery dart or something.
Amen.
But I've literally have heard people yelling at God, why? I mean, why did you do this to me? And I've literally heard them yelling and screaming at God. That's not a good place to be. I mean, it's great to hear what the church is doing in Ukraine. I mean, everything in their life is coming to ruin. And they're coming together and they're praying and interceding. Just so you know, we're not exempt from that.
Right.
It could very well be, in a very short period of time, that this nation will face the same.
Amen.
Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And guess what? This nation can be shaken. The church in it cannot.
Yeah.
Just like the church in Ukraine cannot be shaken. Because they are on the right foundation. The fourth one. You wouldn't think that this is really such a big deal, but it's a big deal. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Should I ask for a show of hands how many people have ever grumbled in their life? I didn't ask. I said, should I ask? Some people were right there. Yeah, it's me.
Learn the lesson, man.
This is number 16, verses 1 through 4. It says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, so he's a relative of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben. To action, they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough. For all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. Why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. Moses was never exalting himself.
Never.
He had an anger issue. These were the leaders of the church, so to speak, came up to the two that God had called to lead this people out of their captivity, out of their chains, into a promised land. They were in this place of transition. They hadn't got to the promised land yet. And so here they are, once again, coming against Moses and Aaron, and they're basically coming against God. You guys have gone too far. So, let me just read a couple more verses here. So Moses gives them instructions in verse 6. He says, do this, take the censers for yourselves, Korah and your company, put fire in them, and lay incense upon them in the presence of the Lord tomorrow. And the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi. He just send it back to them. So guess what? That's what they do. Korah and those other two guys and their crew, they got their incense. I need to read the scripture because it's important to read. And then there was some interaction there back and forth. Anyway, verse 31 says, as he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their household, and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All of Israel who were around them fled. And their outcry said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire came down forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Wow. So we're exhorted not to turn. We're not to be idolaters. We're not to act immorally. We are not to try or test the Lord. And we need to stop grumbling. Right?
Yep.
Okay, I told you about two sections of Scripture. Let's now turn to Hebrews. By the way, you would think that seeing all these people, like the earth opening up and it just swallowing them in and the doors closed, the next day they came and grumbled because they were killed. I mean, you can read that on your own. Yep. Hebrews chapter 11. You see, the first part is John said, do not let your hearts be troubled. And I was placing the Corinthians scripture with that because those are the things that happen when we allow our hearts to be all churned up. We have a tendency to fall into those things the same as Israel did. And we all know that. That's our tendency when we begin to do those things. But then Jesus says to his disciples, believe in God and believe in me. And what is belief? It is faith. It is faith in who God is. It's faith in what they have said. It's the belief that they will do what they've said. And that's why we're here today, sitting in this room, because we believe that Jesus is coming. If we had no hope that Jesus was coming back to bring salvation for his church, we wouldn't be sitting here. But each of us in this room, we have that hope that is within us. And it said that all of these things that happened to Israel, right? Now we'll see this at the end of Hebrews. All these things happened, and yet they did not receive the promise. And yet here we are, we have the promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit, where God comes to live and be present with us all the time. They did not have that. Now I'm just going to read this chapter, and I want it to be self-explanatory, because it is, in a sense, very self-explanatory. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up was pleasing to God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, and in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which had foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised, even though she laughed. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All of these died in faith without receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That's such an interesting statement. That their focus was on something they couldn't see, and yet their mind was off of where they were coming from. And Israel just kept saying, why did you take us out of here? Why don't we go back to Egypt? Why don't we go back? They were not looking toward what God had placed ahead of them. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom was said, in Isaac your descendants will be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top the staff. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. There it is again. He was looking forward to what was ahead in the place of transition. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured and seeing him who was unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, and though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after that they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. For from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with sword. They went about in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world were not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. There's something about what we're going through here right now is going to influence all the patriarchs and the people that were there before Jesus. I don't understand that, but it's right there. He said, apart from us, they would not be made perfect.
Wow.
We can literally say that hell is breaking loose. But it's going to get more and more intense, and I'm not trying to scare you or freak you out. It's just what's going to happen. It says lawlessness will increase, and eventually the man of lawlessness will be revealed. And then all hell will break loose, because God's going to release it. And he's preparing us today. He's preparing us that we would not look behind, that we would look forward to that prize, the goal of our prize.
Yes, Lord.
I just want to say again, God is always good. And God is always faithful. And it's never a time to grumble, to complain, or drift off into idolatry or immorality. Because the verse says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for what you have done. Lord, that you have given us the means by which we can stand and resist the devil.
Yes, Lord.
Your Holy Spirit within us empowers us to say no to the sin and the temptations that are before us. And Lord, you said by holding up that shield, we will distinguish every fiery dart that the enemy throws at us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I just want to proclaim this day that that's where we're going, Lord. Lord, you've brought us together. You've brought us together to stand in faith, and that we will stand together against the schemes of the devil. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. He will not prevail against us. Because you are in us, and together you are in our presence. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Because you are always good, and you are always faithful.
Amen.
You are always good and faithful. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak, and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it may be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. And that's the thing that we need to be mindful of also. It's not just us standing strong, resisting the enemy. But there are those around us that we need to help. We need to be helping one another to strengthen those feeble knees. When we see people that are lacking in faith or lacking in strength, that we would come alongside them and to say, hey, you know, I see that this is going on, and let's just pray together. You know, I may not have the answers for you, but let's come together. Let's agree in prayer, because where two or more agree upon anything, it shall be done.
Yes.
And that's what Peter again was saying today, that the Lord is saying, your prayers are going to be answered. Your prayers are going to be answered. All of your prayers are going to be answered. Because the Lord has been teaching us how to pray. He's been drawing us into his presence. He's been showing us the right things to pray for and not the selfish things. But the things that have to do with his purpose and his will here on earth. Because this earth is passing away. It's all passing. It's all going to pass. We have a future and a hope. Lord, I just want to praise you this day. Lord, as we are all in places of transition, Lord, some of them are personal. Some of them have to do with families. Some are within the church. Lord, there are states in transition here in the United States. There are laws right now in transition, Lord, that we're waiting upon, especially with regards to Roe versus Wade. That's a time of transition, Lord. And if that were to be returned, boy, are we going to see the gates of hell to begin to open up in that arena also. And Lord, we're going to be the targets because we're the ones that believe it is wrong to kill babies. And Lord, that's just our nation. Lord, there are so many other nations that are in turmoil. They are also in transition, Lord. This whole COVID thing has just totally transformed the world. But yet you are working it together for good to those that love you and are called according to your purposes. Lord, there are nations rising up against nations, and you're working all those things together for good. Lord, we have to believe that. That's our faith. We believe in you, and we believe in Jesus. Lord, in the midst of the chaos, and listen to the heart and the heartaches and the disappointments and the things that we don't understand. Lord, you said the secret things belong to you, but the things revealed are for us and to our families and generations to come. But those secret things, those things that we don't understand, Lord, we just put those into your hand.
Yeah. Right.
And we're not going to try to figure them out. We're not going to go find a conspiracy theory to get an answer for us. Lord, we just make a commitment today that we're going to look to you because you are the way and the truth and the life. That's what you told your disciples.
That's right.
Lord, we don't know the way. I am the way
and
the truth and the
life. That's right.
So we do know the way.
You are the way, Lord. That's right.
So do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God.
Yes, Lord.
And believe in Jesus.
Yes.
Because what he has said will come to pass.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let your faith rise up in us, each and every one of us.
Yes.
Let there be a greater measure of faith.
Yes.
To stand and to proclaim your word.
Yes.
And I ask that in Jesus' name.